Well, good morning, and it's good to be with you again on this special day, Father's Day, September 6th. We're into September, we're into spring already, and the weather's been nice so far. As I said, it's a special day, and it's special for me to be able to be with you this morning to just share some thoughts of encouragement around the thoughts of Father's Day. I just wanted to acknowledge the dads and the granddads who might be listening to this. I want to acknowledge those who would love to be dads, but for one reason or other, it hasn't been a part of their life. I want to acknowledge those who will one day be dads, to be fathers, and acknowledge them this morning. The role of fathers, as with mothers together, is a really important role in the life of the family and for the children. Their love together becomes a model for good or ill, in some cases, unfortunately, of what love looks like and is some small reflection of God's love. Fatherhood involves some pains too. There is loss, as some of us have experienced. There is a sense of falling short at times of what it means to be a father or what it could mean to be a father. And I want to pray a blessing before we just have a reflection on God's word over, all the males really that might be listening to this at this time. So let me just lead you in a brief prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this thing that we call family, and for the role that mums and dads have in bringing into being and raising the next generation. And we pray a blessing over all the dads and those who, for one reason or another, haven't been able to be dads, but represent a male figure in the lives, the young lives of others. And those who are yet to become dads, but will one day, we commit them, commit us all into you. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will help our living out the role of father may be a blessing to the next generation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought that I wanted to bring to you today from God's word is really around the fatherhood of God. But it's really considering a question that's really close to our hearts. And that is, how far can we trust this Father, that is God the Father? How far can we trust him? And to answer this, I wanted to just look at some passages in God's word. Just little snippets, actually. And the first is found in Matthew 6 and verse 9. Those of you will probably realize that Matthew 6 and this portion of God's word is around what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, the instruction for prayer that we find from Jesus' own mouth. And that prayer, as you would well know, begins with these words: Our Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. We know that right through the Gospels, as we read the life of Jesus, that Jesus is referring to God as Father. And it's really tremendously significant that he, in this prayer that he has given to all his disciples, this model prayer, says that we are to, and we are free to, we have the privilege of, we have the relationship of being able to call his Father, our Father in heaven. Just as a side note, what a privilege it is to be able to address the great God of all creation as Father, that intimate relationship Indeed, elsewhere we're told that we can call him Abba Father, Dad, Pop, if you like. We have this intimate relationship. The thing I want you to pick up here is that we who come to faith and in this Jesus are invited and free, and in fact are in this relationship with God whereby he is Father. And ironically, it is in very much the same sense that God is Father to his Son. It is the same relationship, amazingly. We are adopted into the family. We are called sons and daughters of the living God. And so how Jesus experiences this relationship with the Father, we can anticipate it's the same way that we can experience this relationship. And I want to flip straight to the culmination of Jesus' ministry, because at the end of Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 27 and verse 46, we find Jesus at the most extreme point in his journey of life. He's already been through the garden experience, through this experience of rejection, of false accusation, and he now is hung on a cross. And we find these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here in utter extremity, feeling abandoned, he utters this cry. This is the most extreme circumstance that any human being has been in, ever. It is a unique circumstance that only Jesus bore. And yet just a few hours later, and we find this recorded in Luke 23, 46, Jesus calls out with a loud voice and he addresses God again as Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, in utter trust, the Son places himself fully and completely and utterly into the hands of God. And he yields his spirit, breathes his last, and gives himself to death. And we find in that situation, very shortly after, we know the story, don't we? Praise God. That he is raised by God the Father from the grave. And a short time later, he is ascended into heaven, into the very presence of the Father. And he is given all authority and all glory and all praise in heaven and on earth. What I want you to take from this is that for Jesus, the one and only Son, the only begotten of the Father, he experienced the extremity of human experience, far more than we ever experience. And he trusted his Father, and his trust in his Father was vindicated. His trust in his Father was vindicated. God honored that trust. God the Father was true in that commitment, true to that commitment of his Son, has honored him and will continue to honor him through all eternity. That was the experience of Jesus. He was asked to walk an extremely difficult path, but his trust in the Father was never disappointed, even though it was stretched. It seems beyond almost the very limit of Jesus' capacity to bear the testing. As I said, God has placed us in Jesus. I didn't use those words, but we find those in many places in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, for instance, that we are in Jesus through the work of the Father, by the will of the Father. And so being in Jesus, clothed in his righteousness, we have the favor of God upon us that Jesus the Son has upon him. He, God, that is our Heavenly Father. And no matter what we go through and experience in life, as we trust the Father, as we trust the Son, we can be confident that God will honor our trust in him. He will not fail us. We may go through extremity, and many of us do in the course of life. It is the nature of life. And yet we will find God faithful and true. Just as the beloved Son, Jesus, found God to be utterly faithful and true. Jesus spoke to me during the week. It was almost totally unrelated to this sermon preparation. But these are the words that came to me from Jesus. And I believe that they were not just given to me for me, but they were given to me for you. The words I sensed were these: the Father is good far beyond you, your experience of human fatherhood. Just as I trusted him completely, and he honored that trust completely, you can trust him in and for and through everything. You have been placed in me by the Father, and this means his Father shines on you with unchanging fullness. Let me repeat that for you. The Father is good, far beyond your experience of human fatherhood. Just as I trusted him completely, and he honored that trust completely, you too can trust him in everything and for everything and through everything. You have been placed in me by the Father, and this means his favor shines on you with unchanging fullness. It's important that we grab hold of who God is and the nature of his fatherly love, of his goodness and his grace, of his faithfulness to his children. Some of us, sadly, in our experience of fatherhood, in various contexts, and we see this in society at large, have suffered. Sometimes we as fathers fail greatly, and there is abuse and there's desertion and all sorts of pain and distortion that's inflicted upon us. That's not everyone's experience, fortunately, but it is the true experience of some. And this can stand in the way and become a bit of a hindrance to the idea of Father, or God as Father. But God, the Father, is so different to such distortions of what it means to be a true Father. Indeed, he is the true Father, the one that we can come to and find rest and security, acceptance and grace, love and forgiveness, in an enduring love that does not change. So I leave these thoughts with you, and I leave those words from Jesus with you, to just to meditate upon and to take into your heart, to even memorize, so that they can become the context within which you live life. Live life in and under the gracious, wondrous fatherhood of God. May I pray as we just conclude this time together. Heavenly Father, again I pray for those of us who are dads or who will be dads or have that privilege, even though they themselves are not fathers, for whatever reason, can be like a stepdad in inverted commas to others. And for stepdads in blended families. And we just bring all of these ones before you and pray that you would strengthen them, whether they know you or not, that they will be encouraged to live out a good reality of what it means to be father. We pray for those who have been hurt through their upbringing, through desertion, through abuse. We pray, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, that these experiences will not distort the reality of your fatherhood, but that they might be freed, liberated, to experience and find grace and peace in your fatherly care. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your experience guides us in how far we can trust our Heavenly Father. Glorious God, we thank you that you invite us into this wondrous relationship where you are true Father to us. Help us to just yield to your fatherly care and to trust you more and allow you by your Spirit to make us like Jesus, that our lives might be a true reflection of your glory. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, and God bless you.